Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
It is Tuesday, May 24th, and you are listening to another edition of the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast. My name is Blair Angulo. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are joined by national analyst Cooper Patagna on this episode to break down the performance and some recruiting talk on the number one prospect in the 2023 class, Arch Manning, who just had his spring game last weekend and also announced that he has been scheduling three official visits. He will begin his tour of schools with Georgia on June 3rd, that weekend, followed by an official visit to Alabama on June 10th, and then wrapping up the trio of official visits in the month of June with the Texas Longhorns on June 17th. But Cooper, before we get to Arch Manning, I want to ask you, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I just, New Orleans is home for me. So it was a trip home. It was really nice. Got to see my brother and spend some time back home. And, you know, where Arch played, believe it or not, I actually grew up only a handful of blocks away from there. So pulled into my childhood house, put my stuff up and walked over to the stadium. It was pretty nice.
Excellence in New Orleans, Louisiana. Arch Manning, the number one player in the country, and Cooper Patagna going back home and, you know, kind of putting a stake in the ground and saying, hey, this is my territory, Arch. Probably not the highlight of your trip, obviously, to see Arch Manning, but we will discuss his performance. Is he still the number one player in the country after what you saw in that controlled scrimmage environment?
I believe that, and I'm even more convicted now after seeing him. This was my first time seeing him, and you know, I think for me, just seeing that live exposure, I got there an hour before practice and writing an article right now, but just kind of seeing the way that he interacted, the way that he went about his preparation, and then how did that really kind of flow over to the field, and what was his on-field presence like, his command, and how he really interacted with his teammates. So seeing that complete picture, which I think is more what you take from being in an environment like that, I still think there's going to be questions about the level of competition that he faces. That's not going to change this year, just being at a two-way school like Newman. But he was on, man. He was super crisp, operating the pocket. I thought his feet were calm. I thought he was very poised. He had a complete command of the offense that day. And I think for him, it's just, we've seen that over the last three seasons. Now going into season four, I want to see him continue to kind of elevate his team and take the next step. They had a couple performances last year that I think were some head scratchers for some people, but this looked like a guy that had played 3 years of football. Physically, everything was there that you were looking for. And on that setting, in a spring game on a Friday, he looked really good, and he looked the part as the number one player in the country.
You know what's interesting? We were talking about Nico Iamaleava a couple of weeks ago, right? His performance at the Elite 11 Regional in Nashville, knowing that the spotlight was on him, knowing that everyone's eyes were glued on what he was doing on every throw and every drill, going station to station. And when you're Arch Manning, when you carry that last name, when you're the number one prospect in the country, when everyone wants to know where you're going to school, it might be maybe a bit difficult to get lost in that, right? For a 17-year-old kid, for a player that's heading into his senior season, and to hear you discuss maybe his demeanor, right, and his moxie and the way he carries himself, I think it's pretty optimistic for him to be able to carry that weight of being the number one prospect, of being a Manning, of being a quarterback, being that guy that everyone looks to as perhaps the best prospect in this 2023 class. It's got to give you a sense of optimism, right? If you're one of these coaches that is recruiting him heavily.
And he had a crowd there too, you know, Texas, Alabama, Georgia, LSU were all in attendance there too. So he was doing it in some pretty good company as well. And look, he looked very comfortable, and you try not to overreact, right? I said the same thing about Nico Iamaleava, really in a limited sample size, limited setting. But you had to be very pleased, very optimistic with not only the way that he played on the field, but you know, for me, right, this is my first time seeing him in person. You know, the expectations that surround Arch Manning, a lot of it coming to his last name and him being the number one player in the country, that is a lot to deal with, especially when you put that on the shoulders of a 17-year-old. To me, I saw a very focused individual from his preparation in the beginning of the game to his execution throughout the day. And then I saw a very normal kid after it was all over. So I think all three of those things, you come away pleased with what you see. And obviously, it's going to be a very different setting once he's playing in front of 100,000 plus people somewhere in the SEC in the near future. But good start nonetheless.
Coop, we've been diving into his film now for a couple years and closely analyzing him and closely comparing him to the other quarterbacks in this class. Is there one trait that maybe pushes him ahead of the others in terms of when we are differentiating him between the Nico Iamaleavas, the Malachi Nelsons, the Dante Moores, the Jaden Rashadas of this 23 class?
I think it's the skill set. Obviously, all these quarterbacks bring something different to the table, something unique that has put them in this position. We have four quarterbacks within the top 10. I think with Arch Manning, you look at him, it's a complete physical tool set that he has at his disposal. But on top of that, the intuition and the flow of how he plays the game, the tempo, the ability to play under control, make quick and timely decisions, and play with accuracy under pressure. I think for me, those are the things that really kind of stand out. Those are the things that elevate some of the top quarterbacks on Sundays, some of the top quarterbacks on Saturdays. And we've seen that, you know, like when you look at a skill set like a Tom Brady, that's really what elevates a player like him, something like a Joe Burrow. And yeah, those guys compensate in other areas, but it's their master class of ability to be able to slow the game down, process it very quickly, and make good decisions somewhere from 8 to 9 out of 10 times. I don't think Arch is at that level yet, but we've seen that over the last 3 years. I'm really looking forward to seeing him this year because I think he's got his best football ahead of him.
Yeah, very controlled, like you mentioned, and taking a very controlled approach with his recruitment as well. Very methodical, but we do have some clarity now. Has those three official visits that I mentioned, kicking it off with Georgia, then Alabama, and then Texas heading into the backstretch in the month of June. We will take a short break, but we'll continue our discussion on the number one prospect in the 2023 class, Arch Manning. You're listening to the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast. Blair Angulo joined by national analyst Cooper Patagna. And Coop, before we continue our discussion on Arch Manning, you have a show every Tuesday that you guys shoot live, you and Andrew Ivins, our colleague at 24/7 Sports. And that conversation is then relayed onto this podcast on Fridays in this feed. Can you tell our listeners a little bit more in case they are not aware of that really good content hour that you guys provide every Tuesday?
Appreciate the plug there. Yeah, it's on 9:30 a.m. Central Time every Tuesday. And really, Andrew and I just kind of break down the current recruiting lines of everything that's kind of transpiring in the world of recruiting week by week. We try to stay current and relevant. Also try to get the listeners involved. We've got a new segment called High Low Casino, which I think a lot of fans can kind of air their grievances on the recruiting rankings, which guys are too high, too low. And then Andrew and I have to defend that position. But, you know, it's something, it's only in the early stages. I think we've only been doing it for 2 months, but I think the network's got some really cool stuff planned with it. And we're certainly excited about it as well.
Do we have a name for it yet?
We do have a name. We're still working with my buddy Trey Scott in terms of the finality of that.
In terms of
when we can actually put that out there in the public. But we do have a name.
Perfect. Keeping it under wraps. I like it.
I think we're waiting on a logo too. So I think we're pretty big league now.
There must be something in the water in New Orleans, right? With all the secrecy going around.
You know, they actually have boiled water advisories in New Orleans. So that's actually, I'm sure there's a lot of things in New Orleans.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of secrecy. So yeah, stay tuned for that. The show will be named soon. And obviously a logo will come out, and great stuff there with Cooper Patagna and Andrew Ivins, and a player that I know you guys will continue to discuss on those Tuesdays is Arch Manning. You mentioned before we hit record on this show that AJ Milwee, the quarterback's coach at Texas, was a shadow at this scrimmage. He was shadowing Arch Manning and kind of keeping those close quarters with him, analyzing his every move. And when you look at the order of the official visits, Texas being last has to mean good news for the Longhorns, right?
Yes and no. You know, I think it's a two-sided question. I think if Arch were to choose today, and this is speculative, I think there's a high level of comfort with all three of these programs, Alabama, Georgia, Texas. I think for me, it would probably come down to Texas and Georgia. And I think Texas has done, to their credit, everything right to put themselves in a position to land Arch Manning. I think what's next for them, we talked before the show, me and you, Blair, about finality, right? And now Arch is potentially could make a decision. That's, to me, that's what those OBs say, is going to try to get the decision done before the season starts. I think that would be ideal for him. But the level of finality, if you were to commit to a place like Alabama or Georgia, two programs that just played for a national title versus a team that just went 5-7 last year in Texas, I think that's different, right? So if he commits to Texas in, let's say, next month or early in the summer, is that really over, right? Is Arch Manning really going to sign his name there come December? That's a lot of time left for a program like Alabama or Georgia or maybe anybody else to make their move. And for me, Texas still has something to prove to Arch Manning. They have to go out there and show that they are trending in the right direction. And I think they have to go out there and show that they can be competitive week two against a team like Alabama. And Arch Manning has to know that he's going into a very stable organization. You know, and you say you start talking about these teams and kind of, you know, doing a pros and cons list. You know, one of these is not the same, right? Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, Steve Sarkisian. And then you start talking about the track record, you start talking about the success. You know, to me, that's all going to play out. Now, you know, whether Arch decides to go to Texas, you know, I'm not shutting the door on anything, and I'm not trying to rain on Texas's parade, but they have to go out there. They're the one program between these three that is not on solid footing or a foundation. So to say that this is going to be, you know, open and shut, if he decides to commit to them, I think that'd be silly.
I do feel like there is some jostling going around a number of times, right, with various recruitments. And with this one being as methodical as it's been, as in-depth as it's been so thorough, right? He's taken multiple visits to all these schools. It seems like very calculated, and there's a lot of research going on, a lot of conversations. I'm not sure that the order of visits matter, but I do feel like there is a sense here of like, okay, you're going to go here, you're going to go here, and then you're going to come to us and check us out. And there might be some visits during the season. There might be places that he gets out to during those fall Saturdays, right, where he's able to go out and check out some game day atmospheres again and really get a feel for the vibe within the locker rooms at these programs. Dating back to your time in recruiting offices, did you have a preference? Did you want to have the first visit? Did you want to have the last one? Or did it just vary on the recruit?
It varied on the recruit. You know, you look at a guy like Arch Manning, and he's different. How is he getting to Texas? How is he getting to Tuscaloosa or Athens? You know, we've seen him. I think he's got the resources, and obviously he can hop on a quick flight and get there, and that's no issue, right? Which is part of the reason when you start to evaluate this over the summer versus evaluating a prospect that really doesn't have those resources and has to rely on a university to pay their way for an official visit, that last important becomes very important. Now, in the case of Arch Manning, you know, in terms of the accessibility to the places that he wants to go, that's not going to be an issue for him, even throughout the season, right? So, you know, he's been to all three of these programs multiple times. He's had multiple exposures to all three of them. You know, I guess in the sense, if there were some questions that still needed to be answered, maybe after he makes a commitment, or maybe if we get into the fall and he still hasn't, I don't think that's going to be an issue for him whatsoever.
Yeah, I do think it's super interesting. I was discussing it with Deuce Robinson, the number one tight end in the country, last week at his showcase out at Pinnacle in North Phoenix. And he mentioned that he's even looking at what Arch Manning is doing, right? Like, they're looking at the potential ramifications of where he might end up. And, you know, by the way, Deuce Robinson is considering Texas, Georgia, and Alabama. Also very high on USC. That's where my crystal ball is right now with the Trojans. But keep an eye on that one, because Arch Manning has that pull. He's a household name in recruiting. Every recruit seems to know and want to know where he's going to end up. And I think that's the other domino about this, right? Like, not only are we waiting for the dominoes to fall within the quarterback, I guess, stratosphere, right, in terms of the recruits, but also every other prospect that could potentially join one of these classes will then immediately get a huge boost, because it adds another appeal. It adds another layer to the process. And this recruitment specifically carries so many different angles that it makes it one of the most fascinating ones that we've seen in a long time.
Oh, for sure. I mean, and I kind of, you know, I've been writing about it here, putting an article together, but I mean, you know, there's so many different dynamics that go into evaluating Arch Manning. And I don't think people really truly understand that. I think there's the fan opinion that says, okay, this guy's propped up because of his last name. And then it's like, okay, well, you strip that away objectively, right? You have to balance subjective versus objective attributes. He's still exactly what you want. Prototypical of what you want. Seeing him in person, 6'4" and change, 215 pounds plus, can make every throw on the field. He's athletic, you know, deceptively, and to the point that you have to respect him as a runner as well. And then you add in the fact, the Manning legacy. And it is important. Like, people are like, well, you know, because he's a Manning. Well, yeah, you have to take into consideration that his two uncles have 4 Lombardi trophies between them, and they're both Hall of Famers. And his grandfather, I mean, you're talking about the royal family of football. I think you'd be stupid not to consider that, right? And you also have to be careful not to loop him into that category right now. So
there is that knock, right? Where people wonder if his name was Arch Thomas or Arch, you know, Smith, like, would he still be the number one prospect in the country?
Right. And I get it. And it's a very viable question. And I, like I said, I think there's a lot of viable, or not a lot. There's a couple viable questions, like his ability to elevate the talent around him. I can tell you this. It looks like his offensive line, all four to the five guys came from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. You know, Oompa Loompas, no disrespect to them, but that's how he was. And that's who he's playing with. He had 4 or 5 drops. I've seen that throughout the season. I'm not making excuses, but when you start to look at the context and you look at the big picture, and there's certainly areas of his game that he needs to improve. But if we were going to go down the list, last week or 2 weeks ago, we talked about Nico Iamaleava. It's there with him too. It's there with Malachi Nelson. These are 17-year-olds. They're not complete products, right? So they're not perfect. Every single one of these prospects, regardless of position, is going to have some type of flaw or area of improvement in their game ahead of them. You know, so and to me, right now, and I know I'm kind of ranting here, but it's like, they have to be it right now. And I don't see it that way. And I think a lot of these guys are going to be able to come in and contribute immediately if it's the right environment for them. But in terms of Arch Manning, there's certainly areas of his game that he can improve, but he's already pretty damn good, you know, and I think you got to balance all that out when you're looking at it from 30,000 feet.
Super fascinating stuff. And Coop, I think I know what's in the water in New Orleans. It must be Willy Wonka's Chocolate River.
That's it.
If we're talking Oompa Loompas.
My poor guys over there, I'm not taking a shot at Newman or the Greenies, man. I'm just telling you, like, you go out there and you're like, okay, you know, you start to kind of see it a little bit, and it's like, no wonder he's running for his life, you know?
Yeah. Well, interesting stuff. And right now, running the world of college football recruiting and running it for us, Cooper Patagna. Cooper, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Blair. Appreciate you, man.
All right. That is national analyst Cooper Patagna. Remember, you can catch him every Tuesday live, 9:30 Central on 24/7 Sports Twitter feed as well. On this football recruiting podcast feed every Friday with Andrew Ivan. So for Cooper Patagna and our producer, Lance Glynn, I am Blair Angulo. Thank you so much for tuning into this edition of the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.